really appreciate you having the Hinkle family over. John chapter 10, verses 7, 8, and 9. John chapter 10, 7, 8, and 9. I want to speak to you just a few minutes here tonight on the subject of the door. And I tell you what, the door, now that's a pretty simple thing. You know, I believe that Jesus spoke in simple terms. As a matter of fact, my father had a saying. He said, "Why make a hard job hard when with a little effort you can make it nearly impossible?" And I think that's what some folks have done with the gospel. You've got to jump through so many hoops, I tell you, to belong to some groups. But I tell you, not the group that Jesus had formed. This business of Christianity is definitely God's simple plan of salvation. Why did he speak so simple? I believe that's easy to understand. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. In other words, if he made the message difficult, some would be left out. The ground at the foot of the cross, you've heard over and over, is definitely level and equal. And every single person will have a just opportunity to hear the gospel message and be able to understand it. We were down in Hernando County, Florida. 99-year-old woman looked up in the face of my son John and said, "How can I give my heart to Jesus?" 99 years old, can you imagine that? An 85-year-old woman just recently, in a meeting that we were at, hardly could get an invitation out of my mouth, and boy, she wheeled up through all the folks, very intent. I mean to tell you what, it looked like she had a bulldozer blade on the front of that thing. I mean to tell you, she was making her way to the front. She wanted to know how to get to heaven today, right then and there. And I tell you, we kneeled around her wheelchair and we led her to Christ. And we showed her in the scriptures how she can know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that heaven would be her home. You know, it's easy enough for her to understand for a four-year-old child. Little Paul there, I call him the sheriff of the Alamo. Did you notice he had his badge on here tonight? I always like to see him in his badge. It comes with authority. And he does know the theme song to Walker, Texas Ranger, okay? But we didn't have the time to get that out tonight. But little Paul there, 4 years old. 4 years old. Now, he's been around the gospel message, you know. And I don't push the kids. I don't try to push them into a baptismal tank, and I don't try to push them into salvation. I want the Lord to reveal unto them the important things that He has for them in their time. And I tell you what, He just kept on and on and on. Day after day, He would come to His mother or His father, and He'd say, "What about heaven? What about the message? What about Jesus?" And being around adults and so forth, so I think He's a little bit beyond His years. But anyway, there at the bedside, His father and him kneeled by the bed, and he accepted Jesus as his Savior. And he knows what he's talking about. You ask him about his personal testimony, he'll tell you, "Jesus is in my heart." And I believe he's so sensitive enough, it really changed his life. So, the gospel message is easy enough for children to understand. It's easy enough for older folks to understand and everybody in between. Because it doesn't matter about popularity or looks, how much money you have in the bank, how much money you don't have, how much education you have, the ground at the foot of the cross is completely level. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door." Can you imagine, of all of the things that could be said, he said, "I am the door." Why? Because he knew that we would know what a door is. And he spoke in simple terms. He says, "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture." Here he speaks in the simple terms. All would have the opportunity, the ability to understand the simple message. Why is it so simple? He spoke about a door because it's common. A door is among the most common things on earth. Matter of fact, there are ornate doors, steel doors, canvas doors, glass doors, small doors, large doors. They could be strong, they could be weak, but they are doors. They could be costly or they could be cheap. Small doors, large doors, they could be attractive or they could be plain. But these doors have one thing in common. Don't you love the simplicity of what Jesus is saying right here? We would understand this. These doors have one thing in common. They are doors. When the shepherd claimed to be the door of the sheepfold, he enunciated the truth that demands our consideration. For the fact is, the strange thing about this claim is the sheepfold had no physical door. The shepherd laid in the doorway. And the only way to get into the sheepfold was to go past the shepherd. He's our protector, our keeper, our strength, our buckler. He is our friend and confidant. I tell you what, the shepherd becomes the door. And entrance is only gained when he allows it. See, the door. The door is a means of entrance, in other words. You know, a building without a door is a vault. It would be sealed in death. A divine plan without a door would be absolutely meaningless. Christ came to be the means that all would come near to God. He would be the door. There was a door on Noah's Ark. There was one door on the tabernacle. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby ye must be saved. He is the door. He's the only way in. Not by the priest, not by Mary, not by contortions and jumping through fiery hoops and all of the rest to belong. It would only be through Jesus, because He saith unto them, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, I tell you what, He is the door. There are many religions, many sects, but there is only one Savior. One Savior. There is God's clear revelation here. There's only one to eternal blessedness. There's only one way. And if man chooses any other way, he chooses a lesser path. The door is not only a means of entrance, but it's a means of separation. To be on one side of a closed door means to be separated or cut off from those on the other side. And very seldom is a door used for ornamentation. Doors are made to be used. There's no way to really be in between. The person passes from one side to the other. And there's a big difference on which side you're on. That's important. I tell you what we sang in Sunday school, one door and only one. And yet the sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you tonight? That's the question you need to answer yourself. A person passes from one side to the other. The door is closed and you're on the other side. I tell you what, it's an ominous thing. The same as a Christian, to be on one side, you turn your back on evil and everything that's past, and you turn your face toward the people of God and the things of God. This means Jesus is the door. He's going to be a great divider of men to be on one side of the door or the other. But not only is the door a means of separation, but it's also a door of protection. It sure is nice to be on the right side of a door when it's a hot day outside and you got plenty of air conditioning on the inside, isn't it? Absolutely. I tell you, it's nice to be on the right side of a door when a hurricane comes or a tornado or different things that would mean our harm. An open door is a door of invitation, a promise of protection. A closed door is one to be feared. Jesus was suggesting not only protection in hopes of time and danger and stress, but He says He is there on those other times too, like the psalmist said. For Thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower for my enemy. I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covering of Thy wings. I tell you what, is a door of protection. And you know what? That door is also a door of exclusion. Now this is the part that really, really is important to understand. An open door is a door of invitation, a promise of protection. A closed door is one to be feared. I'll never forget, you know, there are certain places in the United States the Hinkle family is very careful about going. And two places in particular, Birmingham, Alabama, and Montgomery, Alabama, okay? Those are scary places. Even at the Walmarts, it's scary down there. I'll never forget one time, I think it was in Birmingham, Alabama. We pulled into the tour bus there. We were going to eat our supper. Figured the Walmart was a safe place. Pulled in, had the door wide open there. We're just sitting there eating our supper. All of a sudden, a car pulled up. A kid jumped out of the car, ran onto the bus, and screamed to the top of his lungs. Ah! He went like that. Jumped off the bus, climbed in the car, and drove off down the street. I said, man, don't ever leave that door open again. I mean, to tell you, he's scared. Food went flying. I mean, to tell you what. It was scary. I said, Birmingham, take the bypass. Let's get around this town. I tell you what, it's scary down there in Alabama. Man, I mean it. You know what? I tell you. You know what? That open door was a means of invitation. When folks say there's an open door policy, it means you can come in anytime you want, see? But a closed door is a door to be feared. Matthew suggests that all men should strive to enter into the kingdom while the door is open. Matthew 25:10, it says this. He says, while went to buy, the bridegroom came. They were ready within him. To the marriage, he said, and the door was shut, he said. And afterward came also other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. He answered and he said, verily I said to you, I know you not, he said, strive to enter in the strait gate, for many, I say, will seek to enter in and shall not abide. They will not have opportunity once the door is closed on their life. It's important. while the door is open to take that invitation. The door's position is a serious thing. Some doors may jam, some may close in a moment, but entrance is still possible. But when the eternal door is closed on your life, that's the end of it right there. Now, we would like to think, you know, everybody gets a second chance. We'd like to think that way. Folks have written books, and they're so popular. Oh, they're on the bestseller list. The second chance, the second time, you know, one more try, that kind of thing, you know. And folks just flock to those books there because they feel like there's going to be a second chance. Listen, when that eternal door is closed on your life, entrance is impossible, impossible. Now, man's pretty smart, you know. They can practically get in about any door they want, actually. Never forget Fort Worth, Texas. We're working on a roof down there. There was a lady that stepped out of her running car there, and her three-year-old child, after she stepped out of the car, slipped over and hit the door locks by accident and locked herself inside the car. Well, I'm going to tell you, when her mother turned around and saw the doors locked, no way in. It's one of those cars very difficult to open when you lock the keys in your car. She started screaming. You could hear a couple of blocks down the street. We ran up. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know if the child was hurt or what. Off the roof we went, straight over there, and I said to Butch, you try to get the car open, I'll try to calm down the mother. And boy, I'm going to tell you, she was clawing at that car trying to get her child out of the car. And the baby was trying to get out, and she was trying to get in. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, it was pretty, adrenaline was flying. Boy, I'm going to tell you, all I could do to calm down to get those two united again, and that happened. And I took a step back a moment, I thought, boy, isn't this a picture of things to come? You know, when some are going to be left behind. Now, we could have got that door open. You know, they make little hammers now that you can bust the windows out, jaws of life, saws all, cut it in half, blowtorch, whatever you want to use. I mean, you can get that door open. Matter of fact, the most difficult doors in life you can get open. I was out at our bank out there in Breckenridge, Texas. They have a great big door in the vault. It's a glass door. You can see all the gears. At a certain time of the night, the door comes closed and all these big brass pins go out in their position. And I thought, boy, I'm going to tell you what, now that is security. I mean to tell you, I told the teller, I says, ma'am, I says, boy, I'm sure glad that what little bit of money I have is behind that great big door. I said, that thing is solid. She says, man, we don't keep the money there. She says, that's just for looks. We keep the money in the basement downstairs, she said. I thought, well, at least it looks secure anyway. But you know what? Even that door can be taken off its hinges. You can cut it, blow it up, C4, dynamite, whatever you want to do. You can get that door off its hinges. But there is one door, an eternal door, that once it's closed on a person's life, can never, ever, ever be opened up again. There is no way that anybody can open it up. It's closed. It's done. It's finished. That's it. See? That's why it's so important to be on the right side of this eternal door. That's so important. The door, and yet there are two sides. Which side are you on here tonight? Kids, listen up. I tell you what, this is the most important thing you could ever decide on in your whole life. What will you do with Jesus? What side of the door are you going to be on? You have to ask yourself that question tonight. I tell you what, it is so important. I did that when I was 12 years old in an old-fashioned gospel Sunday school in Weatherly, Pennsylvania. And I tell you what, I was a little confused at first because it just didn't seem like I got saved. I said, Lord, just in case you didn't do it last week, could you do it again? And could you do it again? Could you do it again? Week after week, I'd go on with this. I was frustrated. I just didn't feel like it took. I didn't see any angels, no lights, no lightning, nothing, you know. I didn't have the flowery testimony of being a drunk and stealing cars. I was only 12 years old. So I didn't get into that yet, okay? But I'm going to tell you what my Uncle Bob took me down in the basement. He said, Butch, he said, the sin of a 12-year-old boy would be enough to separate him from God forever. Forever. No escape. No return. I tell you what, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As a 12-year-old boy, the love of God constrained me that night. He showed me in the Bible how I can know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt. I accepted Jesus as my Savior down in the basement of that church. And you know, it's always nice when we go back to Pennsylvania. I take the kids down there. They used to have a glass in the top of that door right there. I could take the kids by and I say, look way in the back there where the stoker room is. That's where I put my knee on the floor as a 12-year-old boy. I was born in Hazleton, but I was born spiritually in Weatherly. And I said, way back in that room is where I put my knee on the floor and asked Jesus to come into my heart. And He changed my life. And that's the only reason I'm here tonight. All because of that decision. One door and only one. Kids, you've sung it. One door and only one, and yet the sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you tonight? Let's bow for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of being here tonight. We thank you for the hospitality of this church, allowing us to come share our testimony in song and preach. Father, we be with each one as we contemplate where we stand in eternity with Thee. I pray, Father, that someone here tonight might accept Christ as their Savior, be the friend of God, and have that ability and power, the authority to live with you forever in heaven. Father, we ask now, please, you be with the pastor as he continues or closes his service, as you would guide and direct him. For we ask it in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.